Listen.
Whoa.
You're starting bold today.
Well,
if someone says this, the word listen, it means... Oh. You automatically take it. You inhale.
Yeah, whoa.
Your stomach shrinks two sizes. You know what I mean?
Like the opposite of the Grinch's heart that one day?
Yeah, but it's like all of a sudden your pants get loose because you're just like... So listen. Last night was the greatest night of my life.
That's a bit of an exaggeration.
Oh, duh. But we're in media. Like, we didn't get here for nothing. Okay, so last night our local area Young Life Club did a raffle night, which, just a simple description would be that...
It's for the kids, Thomas.
Yeah, we had every kid who came got a raffle ticket, and we had people we know close to Young Life give things that they didn't mind getting rid of. So,
but that would still be cool prizes for somebody
to win. Yeah, so like you had like some examples. A ping pong table, an old leather couch, a 50-inch TV, gift cards to cool like there's some legit stuff along with a lot of really old t-shirts that were very small and clearly they're still around because they didn't fit anybody, but we had to get rid of them. So hey, it was stuff like that. Some of the best prizes of the night, one of which was a goldfish in a bowl.
Why would you say that's one of the best prizes?
And the other best prize of the night was a kayak,
like a gigantic professional fishing kayak.
Yeah, it's probably like 12 feet long. And Lee has two high school age daughters, and in a room full of about 50 or 60 kids, there was one prize did not want his daughters to win.
Can we back the story up just a second?
Yep.
During the day of raffle, so like Monday afternoon, Maddie, Thomas's wife, who's also our Young Life staff person here in our area, and the administrator of our Young Life area were like out shopping for some ancillary prizes. Mm-hmm. And Alex dropped a picture in our GroupMe of like, hey guys, I'm shopping for the raffle. And I'm thinking like, cool, she's probably at Walmart or like, you know, who knows where she's going to be. Like maybe they went to Knoxville. Maybe she's at Target. No, she's at the pet store, pet store.
As she should have been.
And I very emphatically in the GroupMe said, if one of my children comes home with a raffle prize that I have to feed, I will be so pissed at you, Alex.
I started this by saying it was the greatest night of my life because that is exactly what happened.
Oh, gosh.
As I was reading the raffle ticket and realized Nora still had a chance. And then when she was the one who celebrated after the last number was said, oh, my word. The video that is floating about the internet right now.
Yeah.
Probably the most popular video on the internet right now. I don't know what else would be greater than it.
Yeah, what this week could have drawn more internet clicks than the Instagram story from our little local Young Life area?
But it was hilarious.
I mean, especially being that this is the week after the Oscars aired.
Yeah, just for anyone who catches up in like 6 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, wait, what are you
for anybody
about?
That listens on Monday? Like... For anyone who like is so spiritually sound, they can just wait until Monday to listen to Ancient New instead of listening on the day it drops, like a person. Like,
yeah, you should wait.
Okay.
Waiting's good.
Well, I mean, yeah, so it's the week of the Oscars. So, of course, this video from our local Young Life area is probably the most popular Young Life or probably the most popular video floating the internet.
All I'm saying, in that video, you get to see Nora's reaction. Unfiltered, uncut.
Oh, gosh.
And then you get to see Lee's react.
Yeah, so Maddie. Okay.
Was it Maddie who took the video?
So
oh,
Maddie,
it's amazing.
Maddie is famous for recording video at our Young Life Club and just storying it. And so much of it is just like without context, without comment. Like if you just follow our Young Life page, it's like it must just be the most chaotic Instagram story out there. It's just like, and all of a sudden, Zach Watson is reading a ticket, the whole room goes nuts. And then you see Nora like with genuine shock, like genuine, like, oh my gosh, she grabs this fishbowl.
I would have called it joy.
And then, yeah, I mean, just, but she elation. Just was really, really, I mean, she had no idea this was going to happen.
Hopes and dreams accomplished.
And Thomas catches my face. He's also on a microphone and he starts pointing at me and laughing and screaming
and
my
jumping
name.
Jumping up and down. Yeah.
And then, so then Maddie, hearing her husband screaming and laughing, runs across the room with the video still rolling and gets up in my face, who is completely, completely dumbfounded with just disappointed disbelief.
It's amazing. And I think I stuck a mic in your face and said, how do you feel about this moment right now?
I am not fond of the fact that she won a fish at a Young Life club.
How do you feel about the fact that your oldest daughter won a massive kayak?
Okay, so then that's, so then the biggest physical object in the room is a professional fishing kayak.
So you can put it in the bed of all your trucks that you own.
Yeah, all the, yeah. Right before Zach read the ticket, or did you read the, at some point Zach said, whoever wins this, I hope you have a truck to put it in. And then the ticket goes, and literally Anna won it. And I was just like, what are we going to do? Now I got this thing I got to feed, and now I got this thing I can't store. Nor can I put it on any of our cars to take it down to the river where she could ride it. It's ridiculous. The whole, that's so ridiculous. And then Nora named the fish Danny Ocean.
Yeah, she should. That's a brilliant name.
Oh, gosh.
How could you make her get rid of something named after one of her favorite
movies? I didn't make
her
get rid of it. I'm just frustrated.
For those of you, if anyone from PETA is listening right now, we cannot confirm that Lee hasn't flushed it down the toilet.
First of all, no, I haven't. But do you think PETA listens to this show? Come on.
especially
after the things you've said about the love of dogs.
Okay, but how often do I advocate for all other animals in the world?
Except
Let's
dogs.
Be honest.
Okay, so that what
and dogs. I
what
own
I'm,
one.
What I'm
I take
understanding
care of her
from
and
this
her.
Segment is Thomas hates dogs.
From what I'm understanding from this segment is Lee hates goldfish and flushed it
I
down
just
the toilet
don't,
after they
I didn't flush
tossed
it, down
it
the
in
toilet.
Batter, deep fried it's, and ate it.
Wow.
Fish sticks. Danny Ocean bites.
Oh, gosh. Listen, all I'm saying is we didn't need another thing to take care of in our house. And Alex wanted to give away mice.
I had a pet fish once, and one day I was at school.
What was its name?
Kyle. One day I was at school. My sister
Wait a
sent
minute.
Me.
But you hate it when people name their dogs human names.
No. I'm the biggest advocate of that. That was my idea. It's not my idea, but I think it's awesome. I think it's hilarious. Don't you think it's hilarious?
I thought you hated that.
Like Amy Beam's dog's name is Frank. It's amazing. That's amazing. Like, yeah, our dog's name is Dobby, but like, you know, the next dog we get is going to be named like Roger or something, you know? But so one day I was at school and I got a picture from my sister of our pet cat standing over our fishbowl.
Oh no.
And she sent me like a progressive shot.
No.
And then, like, I got home later that day, and the fishbowl was on the ground, and all that was left was his tail.
Stop.
I'm serious.
That's a really sad story.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was a betta fish that I used for an AP environmental science project.
Kyle. Wow.
Rip in peace.
That's really sad.
Pieces.
Friends, welcome to Ancient and New. This is a really sad podcast.
His tail was on the ground. Rip in pieces.
No.
What?
No. Do you have some scripture you want to share with us?
I guess.
Thomas, why don't you go first?
All right. This is going to be in Philippians 3. And I don't have a ton of comments to make about this. Though, I do feel like when I get to Philippians, like, consider me wrong or point it out if I'm wrong. But I feel like it's like your book of the Bible.
It's my book of the Bible?
Yeah. This is the one that I think I hear you quote the most. No, I'm not even talking about in sermons. I'm talking about in life. Hmm. Like you, I think you love this book of the Bible. That's true. But I think you really, really love it.
You think I've taken a proprietary stance towards it?
Like, no, is, not like, I don't think book. You could, I don't know that you could objectively say that. I'm just saying from an outsider perspective, if someone were to say, quick, what is Lee Younger's favorite book of the Bible? I would say Philippians. Am I wrong?
It is a book that I've committed to memory.
There you go. That's one of the reasons why. Because anytime I start talking about something from I read in Philippians, you'll you'll catch up by reading, saying out loud the verses before it and the verses after it, which is cool.
I like Philippians. It's cool.
You should.
I do too.
I say that knowing, like, I'm going to say what I have to say about this knowing that you're going to say something really cool. that's not an underhanded, that's like the truth.
That's after you accuse me of throwing the fish away.
Well, did you?
No.
Okay, we didn't know until you said it.
Danny Ocean is alive
and
well.
We didn't know that until you said it. Based on your reaction last night, I think it was a perfectly possible stance. All right, verse 7 of chapter 3. Are you there?
Yeah.
All right. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Okay, so all that's awesome. It's just one of the coolest, and like you've probably heard it before. Yeah, I had this like thing today though when I was reading this, starting in verse, like halfway through verse 8, where he said, or no, verse 9, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Okay, so like I had this moment today where I wrote down, like, what does this mean for me? Like, what isn't true in my life that I tend to believe because of that verse right there? And what is true because of it? And it was a cool practice. Like, it was just a...
Go on.
Yeah, it was just an encouraging thing. And I came to realize that, like, I get to experience grace because of that. I thought it was an interesting thought. Like, okay, the idea of like not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, because like that hasn't worked for anybody.
Yeah.
It's not a, you know, like I, but somehow in my life, I still try that every day. Whether I would, you know, whether I would say that out loud or not, like, yeah. But it was cool for me to write those things out. Like, okay, do I still believe this? No, but somehow I still practice it every day. Like I started writing and I was like, oh yeah, here are all the things that I do based on some deep, dark knowledge and thoughts in my mind that like I have to attain my place with the Lord based on how awesome and perfect I live my life. Like, you know, do I believe that? No. Do I still live by that sometimes? Yes. I don't know why. It just is still a thing, but it was cool to read that today and to start writing like, okay, here's a thing that is not true because of that. It's a thing that I practice in my everyday life. Here are some specific instances of that. What are some things that are true because of that? And it led me down a road of remembering, and just like in the time of year that we're in right now, and like just from that verse in particular, thinking about how awesome it is to be forgiven. And the fact that I'm forgiven by Jesus, because he died for me and he loved me and he loves me and he chose me. Like all those things are really cool. And I get to experience grace and I mean like on the reg because of this. And like, I don't know. It was just a sweet thing to think about what isn't true and what is true based on the words of Paul right there in his letter to the Philippians.
Yeah. You know, like you were pointing out back in verse 7, like whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss, which is right on the heels of him saying like, look, if it were about boasting, I would have won. It's like a really interesting thing. And he's just like, and the thing is that's what he's basically saying to them, like, that's what my whole life was before, was like, I was on the grind and I'm going to win. Mm-hmm. And, because the whole idea of the so-called law, it's like, here's a bunch of rules and rituals and you show your devotion and your status with God by keeping these perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do here. We have traditions and rules and rituals, do everything straight up and down the line. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he actually says, when it comes to legalistic righteousness, I was faultless.
Mm.
And you're like, bro. I mean, that is a bold thing to say.
Yeah.
And which, like, when you think about how much energy and how much discipline and how much focus he would have to put in to a whole life to be able to say that about himself with a straight face, I did that thing as perfectly as a person can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and I now consider all of that trash.
Yeah, it's trash. It's rubbish.
Just, it's garbage. It's absolutely worthless.
Yeah.
It's a dung pile.
I know that's the idea of something being trash takes on a whole new, comes in a whole new light when you have a child.
Yeah.
When you take your trash out and you open it and you're like, whoa. Yeah. Oh my gosh. What's in here? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. human waste. Yeah. That's what that is.
I just thought of this is going to be an inside joke between me and Thomas. Excuse us. I just thought of Dylan Nowaczek on the obstacle course.
greatest moment on the obstacle course I've ever had.
Anyway, it's just like, I mean, just garbage. I mean, yeah. everything that I was bragging about, everything that I was disciplined about, everything that I was like proving myself about, it was completely worthless. Mm. And now I'm in this new system, and the new system is, I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you've been. I don't care how far out of bounds you were. There's literally a start over. Right now,
right,
clean slate.
Well, for Paul's sake, how far inbounds you were?
Yes, because by the way, that made you pretty far out of bounds.
Yeah,
because you thought you were.
I'm
so
sure
awesome.
Everyone loved to be around you, Paul. Oh. I'm sure everyone asked you to go to lunch after church.
Yeah, I'm sure you were so fun to be around.
I'm sure, like, I really was excited to get up at 6 a.m. to get coffee with you.
I mean, that's the thing, is that kind of thing would be completely and totally insufferable.
Yeah.
Totally insufferable. And he's like, I now consider the whole thing a complete loss. Then he goes through that whole thing you're saying, and then he's in that whole, like, I want to know Christ. And then he goes through that whole thing, which is so cool. It's such a cool little thing where you can just feel his emotions ramping up.
Yeah.
And then he says, by the way, like, I haven't obtained that at all. Mm. Like, I'm just a beginner. Like, there is so much to know about him and about this, and I'm just not even there. But I have aimed myself at what it means to actually know Jesus now, which is, I'm just a recipient of presence.
Mm.
I open gifts and I receive love I couldn't pay for, and acceptance I couldn't manufacture. And that's what I want to be a pro at. I want to,
yeah, that's cool.
And I want to do that thing all the way.
Hmm. That's it for me.
I just finished reading the book of 2 Corinthians.
Ooh.
And I want to look at, this is like one of my go-tos in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 10.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. It's one of my go-tos, like in a one-on-one kind of counseling type situation. Not that you always have go-tos, because you have to pay attention to the individual things that a person's saying. But oftentimes this is something that you either want to remind somebody of, or you want them to add as a club in their bag.
Mm, okay.
Like, hey, you need to start playing with this club right here. Look at me trying to make golf jokes or golf illustrations like I know anything about that game.
You do.
Ish.
You just try to put a ball in a hole and you do it as few shots as possible.
Okay, he kind of talks about some spiritual warfare stuff, which is, the idea here is, like, we have a battle that we're waging that is not like visible things. There are invisible spiritual beings that want us to be discouraged, that want us to be frustrated, that want us to be angry with each other, they just want to take us out of fellowship with Jesus.
And
they want us to be confused. They want us to feel terrible about ourselves. And so he says this.
What verse are you in?
I'm sorry. I'm going to start in verse 3. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3.
Thanks.
My big verse that I always go to is verse 5, but let's back up. Verse 3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Okay, so a couple things going on here. So there is a war that we are caught up in and waging. Mm. There are invisible enemies who want us to be confused about who we are, who want us to be discouraged, who want us to be, they want us to be worried, they want us to be afraid. And what the battle that we have is to demolish strongholds and pretensions. A pretension is a lie. Like, we are being lied to right now. Like, there are invisible beings that I can't hear or see who are suggesting things to me. They have the power to make suggestions into my brain. Mm-hmm. And those things have the power to go down into my heart. And that's pretty freaky. It's a pretty freaky thought. But how often have you been talking to somebody that you think is awesome, and then you hear something come out of their mouth about how much they suck?
Yeah.
And as a result of that thing that they believe about how much they suck, they are having a terrible day.
Yeah.
Or how often have you been with, like, one of your favorite people in the world, and they are comparing themselves to somebody who's completely and totally different, but as a result of that comparison, they think that they are somehow falling short of the person that they're supposed to be. All of these things are just lies, that what Paul says, that he says pretensions, lies, that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. He said, so what we do is we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Okay, so let's talk about that. This is a word that just means, like, to arrest. Like, so my way of breaking this down is, one of the most important things that I have to do on an extremely regular basis is I have to be intentional about the things I'm thinking, and I have to make them show their ID, and I have to get ready to arrest intruders.
Yeah, that's smart.
If you don't have a pass, you don't get to come into the hall.
Yeah.
If I just thought of that SpongeBob episode, you have to be a hall monitor.
Yeah. Yeah, that's smart. Yeah. Show me the hall pass.
Yeah. I will do my duty in the hall.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good one. In any case, like, you have, like, okay, so you're thinking things all the time. You have to interrogate the things that you're thinking. You can't just let thoughts run rampant in your head.
Yeah.
They're not all true. They're not all good. They don't all belong here. Some of them need to be put in handcuffs, put in the back of the car, and driven to the station and locked up.
Right.
And, like, the thing is that, like, we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Mm. There's some things I think that I do not need to act on. I need to make it obedient to Christ. There's some things that I think about myself that are not in line any way with the way Jesus thinks about me. Like, if I am tempted to think a really discouraging thought about how awful I am, that's a lie, man.
Yeah.
The truth in Jesus is radical acceptance. Like, radically ludicrous, mushy, gushy, I love you, like, crazy acceptance. Like, and other stuff, other thoughts, other prove yourself, other build it up, other, like, show your mettle, all that stuff. It's like, no. You're under arrest. We need to get good at the idea of, like, some of the things I think are crap, and I need to arrest them.
Yeah.
And I need to usher them into the back of the car and take them down to the station, book them, and put them behind bars.
Yeah. That's so true. The thing that I think, like, one thing I'm thinking of is, have you ever, like, do you have, like, a memory from your childhood that you have told and told and told and told again? I'm sorry. I'm not trying to make a joke. I know that's true about you, because it's true about me. And, like, the truth is, though, in a lot of those memories, if we went back to the moment that they happened, we'd probably have about 50% of it right. You know, I'm sure there's some psychological percentage that's correct. But, like, over time, those things have been skewed, and, like,
And then you start to tell the skew.
Right.
And then that solidifies that becomes the truth. Memory.
Right.
Yeah.
So the quicker you cut something like this off.
Ooh, yeah.
The better, because the longer you wait, the more you tell yourself the narrative, the truer and truer it becomes, and the harder it becomes to do that.
You reinforce what's not true.
Right. That's all. I mean, like, one thing you said that I think is super true. Is it Jeremiah 17:9?
The heart is deceitful above all things.
Yes. And how often
desperately
is our
wicked? Who can know it?
How many people in the world say, follow your heart? Do the thing. It's like, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't.
No, don't follow him.
Don't, like, no, follow the Holy Spirit.
That guy doesn't know anything.
Like, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like we should reword that. But, like, you know, I think when Christians say that, like, if I could be wrong about this, but, like, they're probably trying to say, like, yeah, listen to the Holy Spirit. He knows what he's talking about. Yes. Like,
yeah.
But that does not mean that, like, the little cricket that lives in your heart or that lives in your brain is right. Whatever.
What?
Jiminy Cricket. Isn't that a thing?
I was like, what are you talking
about? Your conscience.
About?
I thought Jiminy Cricket
the
was
little
like your
cricket that lives in your heart.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Somebody out there knows what I'm talking about. I don't know. Anyways, but
yeah,
I'm saying
no.
Like,
in the Pinocchio, there's the song about always let your conscience be your guide.
Yeah, that's one thing.
But the way you said, the little cricket that lives in your
Pinocchio's
heart.
Weird, dude. I tried to rewatch that movie within the past year, and I thought, how did I like this as a kid?
It's terrifying.
It's freaky. But that's. We've digressed.
Little cricket. Listen, your heart.
Like, we have to become pros at asking the Lord often.
Yeah.
Like, some things are glaringly obvious, like you said. Like, if I'm telling myself how awful I am, that, like, straight up, that's a lie. It's just so obvious because there's nothing in Scripture that points to that at all.
Right.
Like, there's nowhere in the Bible that talks about, okay, let me zoom out. Like, it does talk about how sinful we are and how, you know,
sure,
but because
need,
of Christ,
we
know what's true about us. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, those are that we're talking about different things there, but, there are things that are glaringly obvious lies. And there are things though that we have to like, you have to think about them and you have to ask the Lord regularly. And like, I don't know. I'm trying to be better at that. Like, I'm trying to be better at asking the Lord, checking in regularly with the Lord.
Yeah.
And not it being like, all right, I did the thing today. Checked it off my list. Like, no, I want the Lord to have a say in all the things in my life.
Yeah. And can you imagine like if I figured out how to actively arrest lying thoughts and then and just boldly believe what Jesus actually says about me.
Yeah.
Like, I think for some people it would be off-putting, like the swagger that would result in. I was talking to a really good friend of ours a couple weeks ago, and he was saying this. He said this really cool thing about his wife. He said, "People are afraid of my wife." He said, "Because she has zero insecurities," and I was like, "Wow." And he said, "You know why she has zero insecurities?" And I was like, "Why?" And he said, "She genuinely likes herself."
Mm.
He said, she's not saying she's better than anybody else.
Right.
She's not saying that she's the ultimate person. Mm. She just genuinely likes who she is.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, what if every thought that came to assault that result was something that by my faith in Jesus, I arrested.
Mm.
And then how swaggery I'd walk through the day, like not in a boastful way, but like in a bold way of like, no, I am so ridiculously loved that I'm about to moonwalk.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool.
That's a great thought.
By the way, I saw some video of a guy like sideways moonwalking. It was like the coolest thing I've ever seen. Like it was like really fast. Like he was like slide. It was like he was sliding. Have you seen anybody do that before?
I don't know. I don't know that I could. The greatest, I'm not lying. Matthew Ruiz is the best moonwalker I've ever seen. And wow. It is unbelievable.
That's impressive.
He taught me how to do it.
Can you do it?
Did he teach me how to do it?
It's all about weight shift, right?
Was that D-Rod? I think it was Matthew. No, it was Matthew.
D-Rod can rock it too.
Yeah, he can. Matthew, yeah, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable to watch.
It's so cool when somebody can moonwalk.
Yeah. I'm terrible at it. I know the theory. Like a lot of things, I know
just,
the theory.
I just thought about you ice skating when you were... Just the idea of you moonwalking. I thought about you ice skating. I'm like, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
But you know what you are? Ridiculously loved.
Thank you. So yeah. are you. And so are you, listener of Ancient and New.
Mm.
Thank you for listening. You're loved by two more people because you listen to this.
Yeah, we're grateful.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
Some days all I feel is alone, and that everybody's fine except for me. And in some ways my heart is made out of stone, and I can't really feel or hear or see. But I know there's somewhere I can go. Well, take me to a place.